Frankie Agnew. Morena and welcome.
Morena.
And in the Tamaki Makaurau Auckland studio, kia ora and welcome to Michelle Acourt.
Kia ora korua. Very nice to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to be here, isn't it?
It's a bit rainy here today, but that's all right.
Is it?
It's cowed.
We've got a crisp winter's day in Tamaki Makaurau.
Nice.
Yeah.
Righto, ladies.
Agua. I was just thinking about agua. That was what Ronaldo said when he shoved
What does agua mean?
Water.
Oh.
In Portuguese. As he shoved the water towards aqua. The camera, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure he'd be pitching for his own bottling company.
It is nice to think of the power that a sports person like that could have. You know, what else could he do at a press conference to change the way the world is? Like, maybe instead of just moving aside the Coca-Cola and bringing out the water, maybe he could hold up a men's sporting contract and a women's sporting contract and compare the numbers. Yeah, yeah. And suddenly we'd have pay equity. That would be great. Yeah,
that would be amazing, actually.
Like the way you think, Michelle.
Yeah, definitely. No, yeah, I'd definitely pay money for that.
I don't know why I'm not in charge of things. I really don't.
Well, I don't either. And, you know, probably standing for Parliament would be a good start.
Great. Or I could just stand for local council and try and whip up some enthusiasm for road safety. Can I talk about a story in Inglewood that is not really a story? It's more of a palindrome because it's about a sign on the side of the road which asks you to sign a road safety petition about how the road is unsafe, and those signs were deemed unsafe and removed by Waka Kotahi. So it is a palindrome, isn't it?
No, isn't a palindrome the thing that reads the same forwards
backwards and forwards? But I'm pretty sure that it's signs that ask you to sign things that are unsafe on unsafe roads.
Possibly a paradox.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. So there's a lovely woman, District Councillor Marie Pearce, and she put up some signs because they want another pedestrian crossing in Inglewood. I don't know why people need to get across the road in Inglewood quite as often as they do.
But getting across the motorway too.
I know, it's on State Highway 3. I know, look at that. And so she put up some signs asking people to sign the petition, and Waka Kotahi said that they were, you know, a problem. And they tried to contact her because she put her name and telephone number on the signs, but they didn't get through. So she spent 4 days searching for the signs. It's nice for Inglewood to have a mystery rather than just a murder, is it?
Yes, well, that's true. But, you know, they said they were illegally installed. But Marie Pearce, whom I believe implicitly.
Absolutely.
She just sounds honest.
Well, you can tell by looking at her picture. She said that's where they put their community signs.
And they have done for years.
Absolutely years. And they've
you can
never
just see,
been
can't
removed
you? I mean,
before.
It doesn't happen in Wellington. They go out and put road cones and create cycle lanes and everyone, and they race across the Harbour Bridge in Auckland and everybody stands back. But one lady puts up one sign in Inglewood and the local official is there to stop it all.
Yes,
eh?
Putting the officious into
it's bureaucracy gone mad. It does sort of remind me a little bit of a story about a Noah's Ark in Ipswich.
That's a good story. It's been around for a while.
It's a Dutch vessel that looks like a... I see what you did there. Old Testament. A Dutch vessel, which is it's really a biblical museum, and it's in the shape of a Noah's Ark. It is actually a boat, and it's sailed from Holland to Ipswich. Now they won't let it leave Ipswich because the bureaucrats say that it's not seaworthy, and meanwhile they're charging it, what is it, £500 a day for the fine.
A day for the fine.
So it's sitting up on a mount somewhere with people. People will start worshipping around it.
No, it's at the wharf, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The owner says it's always been classified as a non-certified floating object. So I just love the sound of that.
I hate to think what that could be.
I've had a few of those. But it's half size.
Right.
It's half size to the one that's in the Bible because we all know how many cubits that is.
Yeah.
So it's 70 metres. It's quite big.
Yeah.
And he paid €3 million for it, the owner, and he said he bought it as a talking point.
Well, it is now.
I'd give someone a talking point for €3 million.
There's a common theme today, the bureaucracy at work, isn't there?
Yeah, just before we leave the act, can I say I've been reflecting on what other things that from the Bible couldn't have happened because of regulations, like turning water into wine without a liquor licence, Jesus, and loaves and fishes, maybe not meeting food safety standards.
Definitely.
There's a lot of stuff in the Bible that wouldn't happen today.
Did they have their food handling certificate?
Exactly. You know,
they certainly
using
have to bring them all to shore from this morning.
Oh, my word.
Yes, true. We could carry on with that theme.
we could, but
wherever,
we won't.
Wherever there's anything, there's bureaucracy after all.
What I always love, I love a good survey. I love a good study.
Yes.
Love a good study.
With a bit of science.
Yeah, there's two studies that we loved, and Michelle found one and I found the other one. So Michelle found the one that was about the monkey study, which we'll get to. I found the one about how humans have evolved to have teeth that don't fit properly in mm-hmm. their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So most people you know need to have dental work. They need to have their wisdom teeth removed. They need to have braces to straighten their teeth because their teeth are all over the show. And apparently it's because our jaws and our teeth evolved at different rates.
Exactly.
So we've still got our monkey teeth, but we've got our hominid jaw. So
yes.
Our jaw has evolved fine.
Our jaws got smaller because we don't need to chew a mammoth anymore. We're having soup, basically.
Yeah, that's right. So it's absolutely fascinating because there's all these other things, like our eyes apparently still hark back to the days when we were reptiles coming out of the sea.
Out of the sea. So we've got eyes that need to be wet, which is why we're constantly blinking, whereas, you know, if we had dry eyes like a gecko, we would just occasionally lick our own eyeball.
Well, you know, we just creep everybody out.
Yeah, well, we've never seen
that thousand-yard stare. That person who doesn't blink, that just instinctively freaks you out, doesn't it?
It really does. It is quite creepy. And we've probably evolved to find that creepy, you know, because we think, why isn't he licking his eyeball? You know, why is he just staring at me on the bus?
Yeah.
But that is fascinating. And then there was the monkey study about doom scrolling.
So this is really lovely. This is, is it really lovely? I don't know. I've oversold it now.
I have mixed feelings about it.
University of Washington School of Medicine have been studying monkeys and whether they want to, if you want to know bad news. So I guess the place they've started from is, are you the kind of person who wants to have a test to see if you've got a gene for a disease even before you have symptoms for it? Do you want to know bad news? So they trained some monkeys to recognise some symbols that said potentially something bad will happen. And the bad thing was a puff of air to the face.
So they said.
And then they trained them to recognise a second set of symbols that definitely let them know that something bad was going to happen. And some of the monkeys didn't want to know. Some did, some didn't want to know. And this is possibly how we have evolved to go on Twitter, basically. It's an explanation.
And be doom scrolling and looking up all the terrible things that are happening and sitting on the bus talking about them and going home feeling depressed.
I love it. The scientist that Monosov said, we're living in a world our brains didn't evolve for. And don't you just feel like that on a Friday?
I just think, I don't know.
Just put the phone down, people.
Stop doom scrolling.
Yeah.
My doom scrolling
is... Keep blinking, though. I quite like your blinking.
My doom scrolling is excessive looking at Trade Me for things that I need.
Oh, that's recreational.
But then, you know, midnight, I end up buying some of the things. It's not good.
Go.
It is not good.
If you're buying things in a restaurant, wine, you're quite right to go for the second cheapest. So there's this, you know, kind of urban myth that we all are attracted to buying the second cheapest. We don't want to buy the cheap bottle of wine.
So we don't look cheap.
Don't look mean. Get the second cheapest.
Mainly cheap.
And so then people assume that restaurants were taking advantage of that and hiking up the price of the second cheapest wine so they could make as much margin as possible. Apparently, according to, what are they called? It's the American Association of Wine Economists. Who knew they existed?
It's a good specialty, though, if you're going to be an economist.
It's a myth.
Yeah, it's a myth. Apparently, the bottom two wines, the two cheapest wines, actually are a really good deal. And the most expensive wines are also very, very small markup. Don't buy the wine in the middle. That's where they're
making it. Now, you see, Michelle, just as you're saying those words, I'm checking on the stock exchange. And I have to say, two wine companies have just crashed.
You're not Ronaldo,
two wine companies. It's spinning out of control here. This is awful.
Two influencers.
You've done a lot of research, ladies, this week. You are influencers.
We are.
You are.
Yes.
You are indeed. And thank you for your precious time. And don't be talking about wine at this time on a Friday with me, will you? Because it's not helpful.
It's 1 o'clock.
Oh, that drool. No. I can see it now.
5:20 is the earliest. All right. Thanks so much, Pinky and you, Michelle Acourt.